let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. Because to say at the very outset, we are to take the Passover. It's not an issue of not taking it. We are to take it, but we are to take it not in an unworthy manner, as we read. This means we have to examine ourselves before the Passover, and when we recognize sin in our lives, we have to make the commitment with God to do better. Many scriptures talk about the fact that we have to examine ourselves, and you're all familiar with them, I'm sure. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, we read, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So it's not like let a man examine himself and don't eat and don't drink, but we need to examine ourselves to see where we stand. And we are being told in the same chapter, verses 27 and 29, that we mustn't do so in an unworthy manner. Another scripture you can think of is 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, which also says, examine yourselves. Do you not know that Christ is in you? So in other words, Jesus Christ has to be in us. The Holy Spirit of God the Father and Jesus Christ has to be in us. So 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, talk about self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, talk about examination. Another scripture you might want to look at later would be Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4, which says, let each one examine his own work. Not the work of somebody else, not looking at somebody else. No, it's a self-examination. Let each one examine his own work. But we cannot be different, or rather indifferent, to our sins. We must allow God to reveal them to us. And we have to accept his gift of repentance, his gift of forgiveness. You see, we cannot be thinking that we have need of nothing. A very interesting, well-known scripture is in Revelation chapter 3, where Christ talks to the Laodicea church. And he says, beginning at verse 15, that they are lukewarm because they think they have need of nothing. And Christ said, no, become zealous again. Christ says, accept the white garment which I am offering to you. So you can and are able to see. Christ says, when you do that, I will come and dine with you. And that I like to include also the Passover Eve, because, you see, we are supposed to eat his flesh and drink his blood, symbolically. So we have to be zealous. We have to give up the lukewarmness of, oh, well, I have need of nothing. Otherwise, we may not take the Passover in a worthy manner. One sin, which is oftentimes overlooked, is a lack of willingness to reconcile with each other. And I'd like to turn to a few scriptures here, which makes this point very clear. In Matthew chapter 6, again, a very well-known scripture, in verses 14 and 15, Christ is telling us, Matthew 6, 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a very strong statement. We have read it many times, but what Christ is telling us here, if we are unwilling to forgive somebody else who has sinned against us, then God will not forgive us our sins either. You know, James 2 and verse 13 talks about mercy, and that mercy triumphs over judgment, because if we are merciful, we will obtain mercy from God. If we are merciless, God will not show us mercy either. But I'd like to turn to a passage in Leviticus chapter 19, another very well-known passage. I think we have read it many times. In fact, Every time I officiate at a Passover evening, I am referring to this passage, without necessarily quoting it, but I am referring to it. Leviticus 19, verse 18, tells us this. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You shall not bear any grudge. I am saying, and I believe the other ministers do too, that nobody should actually take the Passover if he or she bears a grudge against somebody else. Now again, the purpose is not that we shouldn't take it. The purpose is that we should make sure we are in the clean in this regard. Now, what does it mean, bearing a grudge? There are different words you can use to define the statement. It could mean resent someone, take offense, be offended by, be put off, feeling bitter, be rubbed the wrong way, take exception, object to, take as an insult, be angry with someone, or even to add to. In other words, you're adding to something which was being said or not being said. The opposite is to like, to love, to be happy with. See, if we are asked not to bear a grudge to someone, we are asked to like that person, to love that person, to be happy with that person. We got to ask ourselves, does this apply to me in my relationship to anybody else? Now, when we take the Passover in a worthy manner, what do we experience? Rather than looking at the unworthy manner concept, I'd like to just talk a little bit about what we experience when we take the Passover in a worthy manner. For instance, notice Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. Because the passages I will quote to you now all use the same word, worthy or unworthy. It's exactly the same expression. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 11. Now whatever city or town you enter, Christ tells the apostles, inquire who is in it worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go out into a household, greet it. And if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. In the context of taking the Passover in a worthy manner, it means you would experience peace, inner peace. Christ many times talks about peace, that he is giving us his peace. He said those things at Passover Eve. Another interesting consequence is described in Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 36. Christ says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy. Again, the same word. To escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. If we are keeping the Passover in a worthy manner, every time, we will be counted worthy to escape the Great Tribulation. And you know, the Great Tribulation is fast approaching. It's coming upon us. Nobody knows exactly how quick it will happen, but it won't be that long anymore. So it's very important that we focus on that. But there's a point which is even more important to focus on. And that can be seen in Luke chapter 10, chapter 20, in verses 35 and 36. Luke 20 and verse 35. Christ says, those who are counted worthy to attain that age, and the resurrection from the dead. Neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and the sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. The point is, we ultimately will be counted worthy to attain eternal life. Christ says, if you do not partake of the Passover, you have no part with me. If you don't eat my flesh, drink my blood, you will not be part of me. But we have to do it in a worthy manner. And then we ultimately will be counted worthy, very worthy, to enter eternal life. And finally, notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. As I mentioned last time, there are many trials right now which are besetting God's people. You know, Satan is busy, very angry. He knows that his time is short. We must know that too. But in all of this, we should understand that God is watching us. There is never going to be a time when God is forsaking us, when he is allowing a trial to come upon us which is too difficult to bear. As long as we are willing to take God's lead, God is giving to us. And notice what Paul is saying here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 4. Paul is saying, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. That you may be counted worthy, again, very worthy in the Greek, of the kingdom of God. Not only are we talking about eternal life, not only are we talking about a resurrection to eternal life, we are talking about a resurrection to be able to enter the kingdom of God, the very family of God. We are talking about the fact that we are going to become born again God beings. You and I, who are being called today, who are going through the Passover year after year, declaring the death of Christ until he comes, if you're doing it in a worthy manner, we will be counted worthy to become God. To become God as God is God. Think about it. Think about it. What greater potential, what greater future could there be? Whatever pain you're going through, what any suffering you're going through, and we all do, it's going to be very soon a thing of the past, and we are going to be God beings, helping others to forsake their suffering and their pain. And so I'm wishing all of you a meaningful and a happy Passover season.